This recording, South Carolina 8, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in the deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square, near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She had a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which is surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive. 85 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Charleston, South Carolina, on Wall Street, which is then known as the Borough. Later, it was called Anson Borough. The attending physician at my birth was Dr. McCready, who was buried next to John C. Calhoun, who was a senator and vice president, and now buried in St. Philip's Churchyard. I attended St. Joseph's School on Anson Street and Bishop England High School. My first job when I got out of high school was at a grocery store, an automatic grocery, on the corner of Broad and King Street. I then got a job at Johnson's Coal Company, which sold bituminous coal in the winter and wood and other things in the summer, because many people in Charleston still cooked on wood, had wooden stoves to do their cooking. I then went to work for Southern Bell and worked there for a year and a half or so, when I joined the Marine Corps. Went through Parris Island in 1942. I served in several different places in Quantico and Philadelphia and Camp Pendleton, different places, various places in the Marine Corps. While I was in grammar school, I had an intense interest in history and appeared in several of the skits and plays that he had. I remember being George Washington at one time and bringing what was at the time paper to Betsy Ross to make the first American flag. In high school, I still had an interest in literature and history particularly, also studied religion and other subjects. Was never a great math student. I was not an athlete of any kind. So whatever I had to do, I did in lessons, and I liked history and civics and other subjects like that that were taught at that time.